Welcome to the Queensland Huddle, round 11 in the books, not the Queen Suite we were hoping for, Liam Flanagan, but those bright future Suns finally get the big scalp that we were waiting for. Well, of course they beat the Cats, a month or two ago now, but great win against the Doggies.
Brady, good to be here, and let's start with the Suns, because this is the bright future Suns. They are, statistically, wins and losses at the exact same position they were this time last year, but for mine it's a completely different outlook. They're staying up in Darwin, which I think isn't a bad thing either for them this week. They're going to take on the LA Crows up there again, who we will talk about because they knocked off the Lions yesterday. But again, this was another game where I think it's another game where everyone did their job. It was another game where everyone did their job. Matty Rao, I mean, that second half, I know, and we said this, you and I called this game, and we've talked about, and Zach Butter's performance against the D's the other week has been talked about at length as probably the best individual performance this season. Matty Rao's second half in Darwin at TIO Stadium is the best individual half of football that has been played this season.
It was, 29 disposals, majority of those contested, something like 16 clearances, 5 breaks out of the centre. He's not only just first to the ball now, but he's got that little bit more kind of breakaway speed that he was lacking last year, I think because of all the injuries that he'd had. And he is, and we don't want people to call up or send us emails, but he's Joel Selwood-like in the way that he wins the footy. And now we're starting to see, and the amount of times it was Witts down to Rowell and then he finds Noah Anderson for a handball, they're building something really special there, and they're doing this without Tuk Miller.
Come at me, people, because I'm about to give you a better comparison than Joel Selwood. I'll even give you my Instagram, at Liam J. Flanagan. Hit me up in the DMs. Come at me with this. I talked to my dad on the way up to work today about this, and I landed on the perfect comparison.
Okay.
Because Matt Rao is a beast at the contest. He accumulates possessions, and the whole time, physically, you look at him, he was standing toe-to-toe with Bontempelli for a lot of that game. He's a lot shorter than Marcus. There's nothing physically impressive about him, but he's surprisingly strong. And it's all a bit ungraceful. He's Dane Swan. He's Dane Swan.
See, yeah, I mean, he has to work hard for every single possession, doesn't he?
He makes running look difficult.
The real easy way. Yeah, Dane Swan had a really awkward running technique.
He had a stone in his shoe.
If you had just picked him at his draft comp, I mean, because he was a very late draft pick, I think,
sure,
Dane Swan.
Different youth prospect.
When you saw him at the combine just running, you would have gone, what the hell is this? There's no way. But he was kind of unusually quick for the way that he ran.
Yeah. I think Matt Rao is Dane Swan.
I can see what you're saying. I think Dane Swan kind of racked up bigger disposal numbers with a little bit more ease than Matt Rao. But I do see the kind of the running gait and the
Anyway, but the point is we're comparing Matt Rao to a bloke who won Brownlow medals,
yep,
did it all in the game. The future is bright for this kid.
Oh, absolutely. And look, a few people getting on his case last year, but he had a lot of injuries. He's still a very young man. Obviously, takes his footy really, really seriously. And
did you see on Channel 7 after the game? He explained the grass eating.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He just said he started doing it. I'm going to forget when he started to do it. I think in the preseason or something. But basically, pre-game, he likes to get in the zone with all of his senses.
Hmm.
So he likes to close his eyes and listen. He obviously likes to look around. He said he likes to get down and touch and feel the grass, and we've seen that. Taste is obviously one of the senses. It's just a way for him to engage all of his senses to the game before the game.
Okay.
Hence, nibbling on a bit of the green stuff.
Well, it's working, so just keep doing it. Wherever you go, just keep eating that grass, because they've got the Crows again in Darwin this week, so he can munch on a bit of that before that game. In a really kind of, scrappy game, it was probably in a lot of ways suited Gold Coast because they get slippery games on their home deck as well.
I think they really suit the conditions.
Jack Lekosius was just an absolute standout again. And Stuart Drew said after that Bombers game that he wanted to keep him as a key forward, no longer just kind of filling holes around the ground, wing, half back. 4 goals in a quarter and marking so strongly as well.
And what he, and look, Stuart Drew knows footy better than you and I both. He's figured it out. But when you look at what Jack Lekosius can create, Ben King is the number one issue, right? So if you front up this weekend when they front up against the Crows, Butts will probably get first crack at King. And then, or Hinge maybe, the way Hinge has been playing good footy. So maybe Hinge goes to Ben King. And then someone's going to have to take Levi. And you can't put an undersized player. You can't put Duday on Levi. He's too big. So you probably have to send Butts or Hinge either or to Levi. And then all of a sudden you've got Duday up against Lukosius. And Lukosius, if he's taking a third best defender or that's just, he'd be licking his lips at the prospect of an undersized key defender taking him inside forward 50.
And there's been a little bit of experimenting going on with their big blokes, but I think they've found, you know, the perfect mix, because Casbolt, being the workhorse, can work up the ground, can go into the ruck, creates room for the other big blokes. Nick Coleman is the defensive forward. You know, Malcolm Roses Jr., Ben Ainsworth, they're a little bit hit and miss. They have a good game, they have a bad game. You know, Roses Jr. didn't really do a lot the other night.
He was quiet for the conditions, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You thought he might have a bigger impact than he did. But I really like Ben Ainsworth's game, though. I thought he was really... I actually really like his season. I think he's been that... It's such a difficult... It's the, what they call it, the football's graveyard, half forward. Such a difficult position to play well, and yet I think Ben Ainsworth does it as good as almost anybody in the comp right now.
Yeah, no, good point. They've built a really nice mix in that forward line, and yeah, exciting things if they can hold on to all of them.
I will say, just quickly, you mentioned him there, Nick Holman. I think the rest of the competition off the back of the weekend, the 100th game and all the press he's received, has realised just how important he is to this side.
And how important that role is.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about it before. It's probably a role that the Lions have been lacking in the past.
Mm.
Jared Witts, I mean, heart and soul player of that footy team. He was just enormous. I think you, what was it, 52 hitouts?
Oh,
you had the numbers the other night after the game.
And what was so impressive about it is that Tim English, we caught the game. Tim English looked like he said, hey, said to him at the first bounce, Witsy, see if you can stay with me. Because Tim English was covering the ground.
Early on he was, wasn't he?
Covering the ground. And I thought in my head, oh, this could be a really long night for Witsy in Darwin. This is not his sort of football. And yet there he was, triumphant by the final siren. If this team is going to make finals and you know, win some finals, it needs to be in Witsy's window.
Yep.
Because I don't, like, I know, what's his name?
Ned Moyle.
Ned Moyle,
yeah.
Got a bit of a taste for it earlier this year when Witsy was out injured.
Yep.
But Witsy is an elite ruckman in this game. And I think if this midfielder is going to continue to benefit from his service and make finals, they need to do it in the next couple of years.
Yeah, no one works harder than Jared Witts, that is for sure. All right, the Suns got the chocolates over the Doggies. The Lions, though, went down to the Crows. We'll talk about that next. It's the Queensland Huddle. Brett Thomas, Liam Flanagan, Flanners. Lions went down to the Crows by 17 points. And to sum it up pretty succinctly, bad kicking is bad footy.
Yeah, and to borrow a phrase from the famous pop group Milli Vanilli, blame it on the rain. on the rain.
I was going to bring up another pop star, Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, because after the game, Fag said, we've got nothing to learn from this. That was his comment. They said, what will you take out of this game? And he said, well, look, we didn't kick so straight, so there's nothing to learn. Look,
some that's extra, what you want to hear, isn't
some
it?
Some extra songs to add to the mix for players if they're looking for, you know, for a tune after they've kicked a goal.
Yeah.
Milli Vanilli or Taylor Swift.
Joe Danaher can just have Blame It on the Rain. You have learnt by now that I love nothing more on the Queensland Huddle than blowing my own trumpet. I think if we go back to, what was it, probably round 4 or 5, and I looked ahead, I think, it was after they thumped the Kangaroos, and I looked at the fixture and I said, settle in, because the Lions are about to go on a run.
You went through game by game.
Game by game, and I said at the time,
so this is spooky,
the concern is round 11. Adelaide at home, round 11, that's maybe when the win streak comes to a halt, and so it's proven. And what, Lions have got the bye net this weekend coming? Yes, they do. Not a bad loss, really. Like, no loss is a good loss, and the old cliche of, oh, it's the loss they had to have. I actually think it will send the team into the bye with the chip on their shoulder of sorts, and give Fags and his coaching staff, a bit of, I know he said there's nothing to learn, I call bullshit on that. I reckon Fags will be dissecting this one pretty thoroughly, because it wasn't just poor kicking. I mean, they generally got beaten in other parts of the game.
Absolutely. And, you can't win every game, but the Crows are up and about, and this is potentially a team that they could meet in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And if, like last year, where they strung together, was it 7 or 8 wins in a row, and then the wheels started to fall off a little bit. If they slip to third or fourth, they're playing away in the first week of the finals. God forbid they have a real slide. They slip to seventh or eighth. They're playing away in the finals. So absolutely, he needs to go through this and figure out the other areas of the game that they could lift. I think, you know, Jack Payne will be back after the bye. Very interesting to see. I think Darcy Gardner now, it's he and Ryan Lester, I think, that are battling for that third tall spot. Darcy played a couple of games in the VFL, but obviously, you know, Froggy had done well in the opportunities he was given. You know, yeah, we'll see which way they go after the bye. If they stick with Darcy, now they've brought him back, or he goes back to the VFL and Froggy gets the crack.
I think we've got to tip our cap to Dan Rich. I think you see what Dan Rich gives this side. I mean, the Crows, how they didn't figure out that Dan Rich is the outlet kick at stoppages and clearances and just to mark him up. He was threatening to call, you know, he was their most potent inside forward 50 option by the feel of it. Flag for you, and this is a bit of a question without notice, so we're not putting too much stock in it, but we talked the other week about the best 22 for this Lions side. Jack Gunston.
I knew where you were going.
What?
He's not every week. That's the thing. My one criticism of Chris Fagan is he's too stringent with his team. He likes to keep the same structure week in, week out. I think it's got to be a horses for course. I reckon if they look at an opponent and they go,
conditions.
How about we isolate? Yeah, if it's a wet day, like against the Crows, how about we isolate our small forwards more, drop one of our bigs and have a bit more run, which they could have done against the Crows yesterday and had a late change. When Gunston was managed after that Magpies game, I actually felt he may have been dropped. I don't know if he was he was managed.
I like
and even when Darcy Fort came in, I think that was against the Kangaroos, the game you spoke about earlier. Yeah, he missed a couple of shots on goal, but in terms of the target that he presented, it was more Dan McStay like than the lead up type of Jack Gunston.
What I love about Gunston is he's a grown up in the room. Okay. And I think the talent on this list is undeniable.
And they have talked up his leadership as well.
The maturity is a question, right? Because you've had Dane Zorko as a captain for a long period of time, and we now have Harris Andrews and Lachie Neal as co-captains. But what you don't have on the list is I guess that not spiritual leader, because you want a tangible, experienced head, and they didn't have a lot of those in this team. Realistically, that's why they brought Hodge up previously. That's why they brought Birchall to the club previously. Fagan obviously acknowledged this is not a wise group off field. Or, you know, around the little things. And I love Gunston being at the club for that still. And I still think he will play a part in this team going into finals. And maybe he is, if they get there on the final day of the season, maybe he is in there. But I look at that game and I think, and he got subbed out. And the conditions didn't suit him, nor did they suit Joe Danaher, nor did they suit Eric Hipwood. But I just wonder, as you say, it's a really good point you make, whether Fags needs to be with his coaching staff, say, hey, what's the best fit?
For this team on this week.
Yeah.
Now, I know you want to give players continuity, and they do love his leadership. Eric Hipwood spoke last week. I was at his presser, and he spoke about how much, you know, Jack and Joe Danaher as well have helped his game. And I think Fags had started to figure out he needed to do something with Jack that he'd done with Joe, in that he got Joe Danaher more involved by playing him in the ruck, and he went back to the Hawthorn playbook of late in quarters. You have Jack Gunston, like Jared Rufford used to do, going back and helping the defence out, being that extra number, which I think, you know, is great for Jack Gunston. But yeah, look, very interesting moving forward. And again, like we said about Darcy Gardner, I think that's matchup dependent as well. If they've, you know, if the opposition only has one strong key forward or two strong key forwards, maybe you don't need three tools down back.
So the Lions have got the bye this weekend. No doubt they'll become, you know, they'll take stock and a well-earned break and come out with the back half of the season looking to cement that top four spot. I still think they're a top four side, and I still think they'll make the grand final. Gold Coast Suns take on the Crows this weekend. Now, as we talk, I'm having a bit of a look back at last year's ladder progression for the Gold Coast Suns. This, if they're to keep pace with last year's season, they win this weekend.
Absolutely.
So they win this week. Well, they need to win this weekend, because they were six wins after 12 rounds last year. So it's an important one for them, because that logjam is starting to get created around, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, those teams really fighting for those spots, you're starting to see maybe Carlton's dropped off and maybe there's some other teams that the start Saints. To fade away. Well, the Saints are still in the mix, but now is the time for the Suns against the Crows, who's a team they're going to be fighting for that 8th spot against, 8th and 7th spot. They need the win. It's almost a double bonus for them.
Yeah, you're right. You've got to beat the teams around you. That's what will separate you, you know, in the back half of the season. If the Saints are going to keep dropping games like they did against the Hawks and the Suns are picking up wins against the Crows, then we can start to see some changes to
that. And the great thing for Stewie as well is clean bill of health.
Yeah, no doubt. And yeah, Lockie Weller to come back, took Miller to come back, so they can absolutely get stronger. They're building some depth. And Bailey Humphrey, who we didn't talk about.
Oh, the B-Bear!
In the first half of the pod again, just... Man for the moment, isn't he? He steps up when you need him.
Can he win the Rising Star?
I think... Look, I mean
Chisel's gone off the boil.
Exactly. There's still a long way to go in the season. Mitch Owens has been out with concussion. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's...
No one's talking about him, but he's probably been in the top three best players for the Suns the last 3 weeks.
There's momentum in hype as well. And I think if they keep winning and he keeps playing the way he is, then there'll be some momentum that builds with him, especially the way the Kangaroos are going.
Let it be known, the hype train starts here on the Queensland Huddle for Bailey Humphrey, Rising Star winner 2023. The hype train starts here with us, Brett.
Get on the B Humphrey bandwagon, the Queensland Huddle. We are now pushing it. Bailey Humphrey to win the Rising Star. Get on board.
Vote yes.
Thank you for joining us on the Queensland Huddle. That was round 11 in the books. Flanners mentioned, Lions have the bye this weekend. Suns play the Crows at Heritage Bank Stadium. We'll be calling that game for Triple M. You can listen via the Listener app.